Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome along to another edition of The Score. On tonight's show, we'll be talking rugby and joined by assistant and forward coach to Letterkenny Rugby Club, Adam Britton, to look ahead to the season and indeed the first home game of the campaign for Letterkenny, which takes place this coming Saturday. While in motorsport, we'll be previewing the weekend's hill climb event at the mighty Knockalla with Johnny Baird, and Donegal driver Ryan McHugh will reflect on his British Rally Championship win in Wales. But as we do each and every Thursday on The Score, we're going to start with football, and Finn Harps are in action this weekend, but Derry City do have an off week with no game in the top flight. In the first division, Harps are on the road, looking to build on that win against Cove Ramblers last week. It was a badly needed victory, their first since the start of July. Maybe that is the tide turning now in favour of Harps, that they can get back on a winning track. They head to Athlone Town tomorrow evening for the 7:45 kickoff. In this week's League of Ireland chat, Chris Ashmore has been catching up with former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen to preview that fixture and a few more.
Well, Gavin, very much into the business end of the season as far as Finn Harps are concerned. Seven games left, four away, three at home. And this Friday, away to Athlone Town. And, you know, a few weeks ago, Athlone were absolutely flying. They've actually lost three games on the trot. So it's an interesting fixture insofar as Finn Harps will be obviously hoping to build on that last win against Cove last week. But Athlone, no doubt, will be really anxious to halt their decline.
They will, yeah. I suppose something's going to give. Harps were on a poor run and Athlone were on a very good run. So they were, Athlone were pushing right up the second on the table and looking the farm team in the league and had a couple of really good cup results as well. But the last few weeks they've dropped the points. Now I'm not too sure if there's players missing or unavailable or injured or what, but it's a bit surprising because by all accounts Athlone and their strike force were as good as anything in the league. In terms of Harps going there, they've got a result at the weekend, a badly needed one after probably maybe five games in the bounce without scoring. So they're not out of the playoff situation yet, but at the same time, you know, that they've a bit to do to get back in there as well. So this weekend will be crucial to trying to get back in the hunt.
Yeah, I suppose it's important to keep sort of hanging in there. They're a fair bit off the playoff spots, but you know, if you get a run of results, who knows what could happen? And it's all about momentum at this stage of the season.
Absolutely. Look, well, obviously Harps have only won one in the last five or six, so like they don't really have momentum. They would have taken encouragement from the last week, but it's probably not enough at this point. No, they probably need to put two or three wins in a row, which they haven't really done all season, to get back in that playoff spot. And obviously hope with other teams sort of dropping points as well. But you never know what can happen. Like with the run-ins, there's always some team that's a bit of form and some team sort of starts to go wayward. So, you know, you'd be fingers crossed that they can get a few ones before the end of the season.
Yeah, I suppose if the bookies are looking at it, the odds are somewhat stacked against Harps to make the playoffs. And they do have back-to-back away games against Kerry and Cork. That certainly won't be easy. But interesting to note, Gavin, during the week, Darren Murphy, and he had in his programme notes, you know, talking about the way that the club has changed, and he doesn't want to have what he terms sort of a one-season club with players coming in for 1 year and then they're gone. You know, definitely going down that line of let's build for the future, let's have a pathway, we have underage players, and have almost like a production line of people coming through. And, you know, he's right in many respects, that is the future.
Look, it's a model that Harps probably have to go by, rather than they obviously don't have the finances to be signing players and bringing players in on decent contracts. So it is the enforced route maybe that's forced on Darren. Again, with that, you know, it's all well and good developing and bringing two players, but football's about results as well. And look, supporters and people going to games, like, though, there's only so much you know, look, lack of results are building for the future that they will like put up with as such. Now, I agree getting that model right is the big one. Look, I've said it for years that Harps need to get that model right. They need to develop, they need to use players within their own county as much as they can. They, obviously, in the League of Ireland as well and where it's at, it's probably not enough because you won't be successful on the pitch by doing that. So it's finding that happy medium that works, that's able to challenge for promotion or get into the Premier and stay there, which is, look, at the end of the day is where Harps want to be. But at this point in time, with the players that they have available and with the squad depth and stuff like that, they're probably well away from that at this point.
Yeah, and as you know, it's so hard to get out of the First Division, and sometimes the league table does reflect budgets, and no doubt about it, Cork City running away with things. They'll actually win, they'll get promoted this weekend if they beat UCD, because then the gap will be too much. They won't be able to be caught. And, you know, we knew from the start of the season Cork were going to be the team to beat, and they've, again, I suppose, showing the muscle that they have. Seanie Maguire back with them, and what a player to come back to you.
Oh, absolutely. Look, there's no doubt about it. Cork City, with the crowds, Turner's Cross, with the money at their disposal. You know, they're a Premier Division club. They shouldn't be in the First Division. Obviously, they had a poor season last season. I think everybody expected Cork to be there, thereabouts. Maybe not to run away with it as much, but obviously the way they strengthened in the window with Seanie Maguire coming back and the likes, you know, that they are well ahead of the First Division. But again, though, you're talking about budgets and stuff like that, it's not the be-all and end-all in the First Division. It's important, obviously, but the likes of the Athlones and the UCDs and stuff like that, you know, they're all of a similar nature in terms of the players available and stuff like that. So, like, you would like to think Harps as a club can be in that mix, you know, year in, year out. Obviously, last year and this year, and especially last year, they were well off the pace and well off the standard required. But at the same time, like, I do believe that they should be closer to it than they are as well.
All the season, there's been a difficulty in scoring. Harps, just 27 goals in 29 matches. So when you're averaging less than a goal a game, you're really, you know, you're going to be struggling to be up there contesting. That said, if you look in the top flight, Galway have struggled to score goals, but they haven't been letting them in. And I suppose they're a prime example of how winning 1-0 all the time or frequently can put you in a strong position. But Harps just haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, I suppose the two differences. Galway have an obvious and clear and obvious, you know, way of playing and game plan, and they're going out and they're fairly one directional and one dimensional in the way they play. But it's getting them results. It's getting them some brilliant results. They're probably the most difficult team to play against in the Premier League at this point. But they don't make no bones about it. That's the way they set up, and that's how they get results, and that's why they're going so well. Where Harps' goal return, you know, is really, I suppose, it's really poor. In terms of where they're at, they want to be chasing promotion and stuff like that, and they're obviously conceding more than they're scoring, which, look, never bodes well. But look, for a goals-to-game ratio to be below what you've played, you know, you're never really going to have a successful season. No, few and far between if you do that, you know.
So going into this Athlone game, do you think, you know, should Harps really go for broke, or do you think Darren Murphy and the team would be happy enough to get a point?
Yeah, I think they'll be happy enough to get a point. Is it enough? I don't know. I think at this stage, with 7 games to go, I think every game they go out, they should be going for broke. They should be at least making the most effort possible to try and get as close to that playoff results as we can. Because, look, a point here and a point there isn't going to really make any difference to their season. Whereas if they go to Athlone and get 3 points, they can take it into the next week as well, probably in a home game, and sort of take a bit of bounce from that and get 2 or 3 ones in a row and then really challenge. Like, as I say, at this point of the season, there's no reason not to take the shackles off if they are on at all, you know.
Yeah. Now, the other games, Cove against Wexford, Treaty against Kerry, we've mentioned UCD against Cork, and it's Longford against Bray. Premier Division fixture list very much curtailed this weekend, but Shelburne are playing Bohemians on Friday night. That Shells-Derry battle, it could go down all the way, but Derry will have been disappointed after losing to Galway last week, a couple of weeks now without a game. Do you think the advantage is back with Shelburne?
I think it is. After last weekend's results, to be honest, I thought Derry would go on and win the league before last weekend. I was really confident. I think they're a better team. They have better players than Shelburne do. But Shelburne keep picking away at them results. And as I say, last week's result for Derry against Galway, we were talking about Galway being so hard to play against. And it proved it for Derry. And I'm sure it was a very, very disappointing result for the group. They're still in with a huge shout. I think realistically it is a two horse race at this point. I think Bowes beating Shamrock Rovers the weekend sort of at the end of them in the league. So look, we keep expecting Shelburne to drop points or to lose a few games, but they keep coming back week in, week out. So they're a very difficult side to beat as well. So look, it's up in the air. At this point, I would say Shelburne are just slight favourites, but look, there's a lot of twists and turns, I'd say, to come.
Yeah, and a great battle for a third place in the top flight. Galway, Waterford, Sligo and Shamrock Rovers. So that'll keep the interest going right to the end of the season. Just in terms of Coghill Celtic League Cup action this weekend for you, Gavin, Redcastle away, and then the league starts after that, and the trophy cabinet at Coghill is full to the brim. You've a lot of titles to defend this year.
Oh, we do, yeah. Obviously, look, we start off the League Cup. We played Carndonagh last weekend. We had a free weekend then, and we're away to Redcastle this week. So it's a bit of an unknown territory for us. We haven't played Redcastle in my time anyway. So it'll be an interesting one going down there. Obviously it'll be a big game for Redcastle as well against ourselves. Then obviously the league starts the weekend after, and then we've a cup final and a President's Cup final against the winners of the Northern Ireland Junior Cup the weekend after. So look, we can't wait. The group have been training really well. They look up for it, and they're looking forward to really getting in the games, you know.
And just in conclusion, in terms of your own playing personnel, what are the major additions or major departures in the squad compared with last season?
Jason Breslin is the only major departure. He's went to Canada for 6 months, so like he's obviously a bit of a loss. But we've brought in Damien Duffy, Daniel Doherty, Finn McClure, Stephen Duffy and Christy Faldara are all back in the squad now. Christy's not available to his GA commitments with Malin until they're finished up. So they're all great additions. They're all senior players, and they're all going to add a lot to the depth of our squad. We have a couple of guys have been injured over pre-season. Adam Duffy and Jack Mullen haven't really featured much in pre-season. We're hoping to get them back in the next couple of weeks as well. But luckily, we're very happy at the minute with the way the squad looks.
That's Gavin Cullen speaking there to Chris Ashmore, looking at the Finn Harps game tomorrow night against Athlone Town, and obviously their fixture in the League Cup of the Inishowen League as well. The other matches on Sunday in that League Cup are Greencastle against Buncrana and Aileach against Kildaff, and there's full programmes of games as well in Inishowen on Sunday to be played in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup and the Inishowen Engineering Division 2 of the league. Not forgetting about the Donegal Junior League. It's the second weekend of cup games, full programmes as well, Saturday and Sunday. The Voodoo Cup takes place on Saturday with 8 fixtures down for decision, and then there is a further 8 fixtures to come as well in the second round of the Brian McCormick Cup on Sunday. But the soccer action, of course, will really ramp up in the Northwest in the coming weeks with the league seasons getting underway in both Donegal and Inishowen. On to Gaelic games, and don't forget each and every Monday night, the DEL debate presented by Brendan Devaney and Pádraig Hulfordy talks all things Gaelic football, and the hot topic at the moment is, of course, the club championship action in the Northwest, and that programme is available to listen back to now if you want to go to the sports section or the playback section off our website, highlandradio.com. Our main focus on Sunday afternoon will be, of course, from the round 4 games of the Senior Football Championship. 8 games down for a decision. We'll be following all the action on Sunday afternoon. They all start at 3 o'clock as well at the same time. Just before we look at the games, the standings get in to the fourth and final round. The top 4 who automatically go to the quarter final are currently Glen Swilly and St. Michael's, both on 6 points at the top, followed by Neave Connell and Fourmasters in that order on score difference. Then the next placings from 5th to 12th at St. Eunan's, Kilkear, Dunloe, Gweedoor and McCool's, all having won 2 of their 3 games, with Killybegs in 10th, Éireann, Ballyshannon 11th and Downing's in 12th. Those 3 teams have won one of their three fixtures, and those sides from 5th to 12th currently hold the places of the prelim quarterfinals. And then the bottom four, who are in the relegation zone at the moment, are Drogheda 13th, then we've Clonmacnoise, Glenfin and St. Noel's. So that's how things are standing and under the final round of games. Our main fixture on Sunday is going to come from Mahragallan. Myself and Brendan Kilcoyne will be on commentary as we watch Gweedore against St. Michael's. And of course, big news this week that Michael Langan will not be available for the knockout stages for St. Michael's. He will be there on Sunday, and he's played his part over the last number of games, helping them to three ones from three and securing a place, of course, in the latter top end rounds of the knockout stages. But if they can get another one in Gweedore, that will be them safely through to the quarterfinals. He's heading off on his travels, and Michael Langan will not be available for the knockout stage of for St. Michael's. But Gweedore going into the game, certainly buoyed by the one in the previous round where they went to the Donald Park and defeated St. Union. So that's going to be our feature match. We'll also have reporters at a number of other games. Maureen O'Donnell is heading to Parknieve Columba to watch Glen Swilly against McCool's, which is another standout tie. Dara Boner of the Donegal News is in Downings as they welcome St. Union's, and Ryan Ferry is off to our draw as they play four Masters. The other matches are Dunloe against St. Noel's, Kilcar play Clonmacnoise, Killybegs to go on Glenfin, and Eve Connell will be meeting Eirua. So lots to play for in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Football Championship this weekend, and it's going to be a busy afternoon on Sunday Sport as we follow all those games, which start at 3 o'clock. Elsewhere, just taking a look at games intermediate on Saturday. They're also under the final round of group games. Termon and Buncrana are the two sides that are leading away at the top. Termon, the only team to have won three from three. And on Saturday evening, they go to Red Hughes. Buncrana second in the table. They are off to Neave, Wirra, Lower Rosses. They're ahead of Mulford in score difference, and Mulford will host Narossa on Saturday evening. The rest of the top eight places who are currently in quarterfinal spots are made up of Neave, Wirra, Riltonamara, Bundoran, Neave, Columba, Mallon and Red Hughes. While in the bottom four, Narossa, Fanna Gaels, Burt and Letterkenny Gaels are holding the four bottom places at the moment. Those other matches, by the way, in intermediate, Mallon against Bundoran, Burt are playing Neave, Columba and Fanna Gaels are taking on Letterkenny Gaels. When the Junior Championship at the weekend, Mavultigon, Neave Padraig, Lefford, Carndonna are playing Neave Breed. And on Sunday in Junior, it's Neave Ulton against Doris, Neave Colmkill versus Robert Emmetts, and Convoy against Pettigo. So there's the full programme of the matches for Senior, Intermediate and Junior. And we can't forget about the B sections as well. All those teams are meeting at B Level 2 this coming weekend. And it is a busy weekend in Donegal, and it's going to be a busy one in Tyrone as well, with matches being played across Senior, Intermediate and Junior. The Senior Championship gets up and running tonight. Ardbow are playing Eden Dark at Dungannon, while tomorrow night, Friday, at Healy Park in Oma, it's Carrickmore against Dromore. On Saturday, Trollig play Eglish, and Errigal Kieran are up against Pomeroy. And then on Sunday, Oma meet Kelly Clougher. Dungannon to go on Dunnockmore. Lochmacprory play Galbally, and on Monday it's Coal Island against Clonoe. Now, the most interesting thing about the Tyrone Senior Football Championship is it's straight knockout. So if you lose in your first round match, that is you gone. The next team progresses in to the quarterfinal, semi-final and final. They are just one of very few counties who are still doing the straight knockout format in club championship football. There's also a full programme of games to take place in the Donegal LGFA Championship. In the ladies' senior games at the weekend, Termon are off to Eirua, Ballyshannon, Glenfin to go on Mavill, St. Noel's meet Neave Connell, and Neave Wirra play St. Union's. While in the intermediate, it's Buncrana against Gweedore, St. Mary's Convoy up against Ardra, Dunloe feature against Killybegs, and Carndonna go to Fanna Gaels. There's also matches to be played at junior level. Now, turning our attention to hurling in Derry. There's no football this weekend in the Oakleaf County. It's all about hurling in Group A. Swatcher playing Amaya. Kevin Lynch's are up against Owen Rua. In Group B, Lavi meets Slough Neil, and Ballinascreen are taking on Banagher. So there you go. That's a rundown on the GA fixtures. And once again, if you want to listen back to the podcast of the DEL debate, which talks Gaelic games and in particular club championship action, it's available now in the playback section of highlandradio.com. We're going to go for a commercial break, but when we come back on the agenda, rugby and motorsport.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Gear up for the championship with all your training and matchday essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And welcome back to the Score programme tonight. In rugby, Letterkenny play their first home game of Ulster Championship 2 this Saturday when they welcome CIYMS to the Dave Gallagher grounds at the Glebe in the outskirts of the town. They go into the game having lost their opening match away to Carrickfergus last weekend, but will hope to start their home account with a win this time around. Joining us now tonight on the programme is assistant coach and forward coach with Letterkenny, Adam Bratton. Hi Adam, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi Oisin, thanks for having me, looking forward to it.
And before Adam, we look at the game against CIYMS this weekend, you lost last week in the opener. How would you rate that performance?
Not an ideal start, but I suppose when you looked at the fixtures when they came out in July time, Carrick were relegated last year from qualifying one, as were CIYMS. So we knew that was going to be a tough start, especially away from home. Carrick had recruited quite well, and you know, we said on Tuesday night at training, 38-22, you know, if you were outside looking in, you'd think, oh well, that was an easy victory for Carrick. But we played some excellent rugby, and there were so many positives to take from the game, and it's just fine tuning wee small detail that'll hopefully keep us in the mix and challenging those sort of top teams and qualifying too.
Yep. How difficult is it going to be this year in Ulster Championship 2 then, Adam, when you've got the likes of quality of Carrickfergus dropping down, and obviously there's teams coming up at the other end as well? It's really, really competitive in that section.
It is, and it's so hard to read into it because you've had two teams come down in qualifying one and then two teams promoted from qualifying three. So in essence, it's almost like a brand new league compared to last year. So even week to week, you can't read into too many fixtures or do too much homework because you just never know what you're going to get. So we're very, very much, as the cliche says, just taking it week by week and seeing who we've got and how we can improve.
Yeah. How has the squad changed from last year? Have you managed to keep the core of the squad that was available to you over the last couple of years, where you had really, really good seasons and won the likes of the Gordon West Cup? What's the squad like this year for 2024 and 25?
We've done really, really well and retained probably about 95% of our squad, which is excellent. And I think that kind of speaks volumes of the environment. The guys are happy to stay there and enjoying their rugby. We've also been able to recruit a few external players, and we've got four guys who have moved up from the under-18s in the youth system. And some of those are actually starting week in, week out for us. And are a fundamental part of the squad. So, no, we've done well. There's always going to be injuries week to week. So like, we need the entire squad. And touch wood, thus far, we've been fortunate enough.
Yeah, you mentioned there a number of academy players have made the move up. That's something that Letterkenny, over the last number of years, has been priding themselves on. And there's always really good nuggets of players being found through the system. Obviously, yourself and your head coach, Ali Ferguson, have been involved at rugby at different levels. How important is it that Letterkenny maybe continue to, churn out these players year by year, Adam?
It's brilliant. And I think the whole club has got a real vision that Letterkenny senior side is made up of Letterkenny players, Donegal players, and they've got a real pride in that sort of local club feel. You know, there's on Tuesday night past there, the seniors train and the under-18s train at the same time, two separate sessions. But then for the last half an hour, we come together and we do kind of patterns and team runs. And that's been fantastic because it means then when these guys do turn 18, it's not like a big jump up into the seniors. They've been in the environment. They're used to the training. They know the players. There's rapport there. And it's made that transition really, really smooth from under-18s to seniors. And that's evident through the likes of Alton McGuinness, Christopher McCann, and Charlie Robinson this year, who have all started or played in the first two or three games, and they're fresh out of under-18. So it's been excellent. And looking, I suppose, further ahead, we've got great numbers of under-18s, 16s and 14s. So you know, the future's definitely bright at Letterkenny.
Yeah, it certainly is. As for this weekend, CIYMS is the opposition at home at the Dave Gallagher Ground out at the Glebe here in the outskirts of Letterkenny. It's a first home game for you guys. I know there's only one game played, but at the top of the standings, if you were to look at it, CIYMS are there with their 5 points, having picked up the one and the bonus points last weekend. What sort of challenge are you expecting on Saturday then from the opposition, Adam?
Well, as you said, they've started the season with a good win against Lisburn, probably got a bit of confidence built back up following relegation. But I think, chatting to the guys on Tuesday night, this will be the first time CIYMS have had to travel to Letterkenny. So you know, we definitely take pride in our home games. We try to keep it as a bit of a fortress and target home matches. So I think if you were writing a script, I think we're set up for a good competitive match, and we're really itching to go. That's a good thing about sport. After a defeat, you don't have to wait too long to get going again and sort of right some of the wrongs from the previous week.
Yeah, I know you have set targets at the start of the year, Adam. Is it achievable for Letterkenny to be in the promotion chase come the end of the season this year?
I suppose at the beginning of the year, we had kind of just said one word was the target, and that was improvement. And it was improvement individually, it was improvement as a squad, and ultimately improvement in where we finished last year. We managed to finish in fifth place last year in qualifying two, which was fantastic. So I suppose ultimately within the group, our target is to improve upon that. So whether it be fourth, third, we're definitely going to be looking to improve on that.
Yeah, and if you do, of course, be in with a shout in the promotion battle as well. No Garden West Cup this year. It's a competition that the Juice guys have thrived in recently, but you have made the step up to Junior Shield. So how's that panning out at the moment for you, Adam?
So we had our opening fixture against Academy, who would be one of the kind of favourites in qualifying two. And we were beaten in it, but again, a lot of positives, and we took those learnings from playing, you know, better opposition. We now play Malone Seconds on the 29th of September away from home, and hopefully, if we get a win in that, that'll put us into the quarterfinals. And last year, we were narrowly beaten in the quarterfinals by Monaghan by 1 point. And so again, with our target of improvement, we'd like to go one better.
Yeah. Just finally, Kieran O'Dowd keeps us up to date all the time with all things happening with Letterkenny Rugby. He's like our right arm for rugby here at the station. So I better mention his mini rugby starts back this Saturday at a 9:15 for boys and girls aged 6 to 12. And new players are always welcome out there to the mini rugby this weekend. But that's just another section of the club. You mentioned earlier, Adam, about the environment of the senior players and the academy players. But overall, there's a fantastic environment and an atmosphere around Letterkenny Rugby Club, and it continues to thrive.
Oh, I mean, it's such an inclusive environment. If you're down there on a Saturday morning, there's boys, girls from 5 years of age right up to 12, and it's just a hub of fun, activity, out, rain, hail, snow, and all just getting stuck in together. But always remembering those sort of key principles of rugby, you know, respect, having fun, and just enjoying the game. And again, within the youth section, the numbers are phenomenal. And it's also worth mentioning, actually, the girls' team, which is quite new at Letterkenny in the last couple of years. They could have 30 or 40 young ladies out training on Tuesday and Thursday night too, which is a massive, massive plus for the club. So, no, everything's going the right direction, and the club have a sort of clear vision on where they're going, which is largely down to Christopher Digmas, the club chairman, who kind of drives everything forward. So, no, it's certainly a club going the right direction, and it's a pleasure to be a part of them, part with them, so I'm involved.
Yeah. Listen, Adam, many thanks for taking the call today as we look ahead to the first home game of the season, and we wish you and everyone at the club the very best of luck at all levels right across the club this year.
That's great, Austin. Thank you for your time.
So a busy weekend ahead for not alone mini rugby, but all the sides off Letterkenny. That match out at the Dave Gallagher grounds in Championship 2 against CAYMS starts at 2:30 on Saturday. Some of the other notable fixtures from sides in the Northwest playing rugby this weekend. In the same Championship, Limavady are taking on Lisburn. In Championship 1, City of Derry are away to Bangor. And in Ulster Rugby Premiership 2, Oma on the road at Clogher Valley. Well, in Championship 3, Inishowen are new to this level. They are taking on Hollywood on Saturday. And Strabane are off to the PSNI. Moving on to motorsports and rallying in particular. Donegal driver Ryan McHugh has given himself and navigator Arthur Kearns a chance of taking the 2024 Junior British Rally Championship title after their latest one at Rally Cardigan last weekend. The victory was the second for the Donegal Monaghan partnership, and a solid run in the final round will give them at least a podium, if not the outright title win. Earlier in the summer, Ryan also sealed the Irish Tarmac Championship R4 class a title and is still in the hunt as well for the Forestry Crown. The Frost's native joins us now on the show. Thanks for jumping on board, Ryan.
Yes, Ocean, how's it going? Thanks for having me on here.
I'm going not too bad, Ryan, but I'm sure yourself and Arthur Kearns, you've had a good week. Good to get a second one in the BRC.
Yeah, look, it's a good stepping stone there to the trying to get the British Championship. We needed to win on Sunday to keep our hopes alive for the British Championship. So yeah, look, it's going down to the last round. There's four of us there can win on the last round. So yeah, look, we're trying to maybe get a podium or even do one better, try and win it, you know. So yeah, looking forward to the Cambrian now.
Yeah. Just on last weekend, it was a long event, started on Friday night, finished on Sunday. It was a grueling event too, but listen, you came out in top, so you did.
Yeah, so there was two separate rounds of the BRC. Friday, Saturday was a round, and they reset the clocks on Sunday, and it was a new round. So, yeah, look, we were fortunate to take the win on Sunday. But, yeah, a real challenging event, I suppose. A different event than what we're used to here in Ireland. A lot of them top drivers were taking serious cuts on Saturday, and it was a real learning curve, I suppose, going forward.
How would you summarise the year then so far? Obviously, you won the Tarmac Championship after Donegal in your class, and that's now two wins on the BRC. Is it the way that you hoped that it would pan out in the year for you, Ryan, so far?
Yeah, well, the plan at the start of the year was to try and win the Tarmac Championship in the Rally 4 class. Look, and we done that within five rounds. We were fortunate enough to come away with three wins and 2 seconds. So yeah, look, I suppose in terms of that, the plan was got as quick as we could. But look, there's I need to get a bit of gravel done here now towards the end of the year to try and put my profile forward as strong as I can for the Billy Coleman, you know.
And that's going to start this weekend in the Lakeland. So what? There's three rounds left of the Forestry, and you're going to give that a real crack, are you?
Yeah, look, the plan is to try and go to the Lakelands this weekend. We were having a wee bit of trouble with the car last weekend, maybe down a bit on power, but yeah, look, we think we've got to the bottom of it, and yeah, let's hope we're on the start line come Saturday. But yeah, there's three rounds of the Irish Forestry left, so yeah, look, we'll just take it round by round. We're sitting second at the minute, or third to Craig Rahal, so yeah, look, there's a lot of competition there too in the Irish Forestry, so there's yeah, look, it would look good to have on the CV, you know, if nothing else.
Yeah, certainly would. Obviously, the car has to change. It goes from a tarmac setup to a gravel setup. What's it like as a driver for you making a change within 7 days? How do you go about altering your style going from obviously tarmac to gravel, Ryan?
Yeah, look, it's a lot different, I suppose, in terms of driving style. It's not as precise, and you get away with a lot more stuff. The last time I was in the gravel was in the Grampian. And, yeah, look, we were leading, and unfortunately, myself, I ran wide in a corner with a wee low bridge on it. And, yeah, it bent the rear axle in the car. But look, you'll have days like that. You can't be perfect every day you're out. But yeah, look, we'll try and get a good run down the Lakelands this weekend and see where it takes us.
Yeah, obviously, I hope is there at the end of the year after what would be a strong season that you would be in contention for the Billy Coleman, because if that is the case, it would open up a lot of doors for you next year, Ryan.
Yeah, look, the Billy Coleman is a massive award, even just to have your name on it as a young Irish driver. I suppose if you look down through the years of the people that have won it, they've been very successful. Yeah, look, the Academy's doing a lot of work with us at the minute. They had 10 drivers there making their ERC debut in Carrigaline at the weekend. Without the Academy, I wouldn't be doing as much rallying this year, and I suppose to all my sponsors too. Like, all my sponsors are nearly local to Donegal. You know, they've some ties back to Donegal and Frosses. And without each and every one of them, I wouldn't have done this much rallying this year. And I suppose I can't really thank them enough. At times you do, it goes over your head in interviews. But yeah, look, we're a family run team, and Neil there has a lot of different cars throughout the field. And yeah, look, it's a credit to Neil and Dad and too, and Lee Armstrong was with me there every weekend. You know, without them boys, I wouldn't be fit to do what I'm doing, because all the preparation is to go into the car. Them boys are doing it, and then I'm fit to concentrate on notes and stuff, you know. So, yeah, look, it's definitely a strong package we have put together for this year, and let's see what we can get together for next year.
Okay. Listen, delighted to catch up with you, Ryan, and all we can do is say congratulations on your recent success, and wish you all the best with more over the coming weeks and months.
Cheers, Ocean. Thanks for having me.
Certainly a young man with a big future in the motorsport and rallying arena. And we're going to stay with motorsport finally on the programme tonight. The Knockalla Hill Climb is taking place this weekend. One of the highlights in the motorsport calendar here in the Northwest, and particularly for those who are interested in hill climbing, and indeed for rally competitors as well, because they can take part in this event. It's over 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully, fingers crossed, this good weather we're having today, Thursday, will extend into the weekend, and the big crowds can come out and sit on a dry hill in Knockalla and watch the racing up and down the mighty Knockalla, the famous hill there in Knockalla, of course, which is the standout stage each and every year in the Donegal International Rally. But it's all about hill climb this weekend. The COC is Johnny Baird. I spoke to him earlier today. Johnny says that once again, the interest has been huge ahead of another hosting of the hill climb.
Certainly, Oisin. As you know yourself, it's well over the 50-year mark in Knockalla, and it's definitely attracted a good entry so far. So, and with the weather shaping up the way it's going to be, it's all around, it's going to look like a very good weekend.
And Johnny, despite it not being around off the Hill Climb Championship this time around, there's still, I suppose, a big entry in it and a lot of interest, and a lot of competitors want to come back and take on the hill in Knockalla.
Well, that's the challenge of Knockalla, Oisin. As you said, it isn't around to the national championship. No, but we're quite happy that we've got a good entry throughout, and especially if it had been around of our own Donegal Commercial Vehicles Club championship, it's really sparked a great interest on it. And yeah, there's a few good names on the entry list, so hopefully it'll be a very good weekend for them.
Yeah, it's not just down to the cars that are solely built for hill climbing. The rally men are getting a run at it as well, Johnny.
Rally men are definitely getting a run at it. We've attracted a good rally entry. Callum Devine's entered. Himself and his father is doing the Saturday run. Conor Harvey is currently leading the club championship as well as a lot of our own club members. So, and the added bonus this year is that we've introduced the G1000 class. So it's definitely going to be a good foothold in the future for the younger guys that are looking to get into it.
Yeah, I seen a couple of photographs on the Motor Club's social media channels over the last number of weeks that the guys have been preparing very hard for this. There's been a bit of a cleanup going on down there and making sure that the actual road is in the best order equipped to for the competitors to take on this challenge.
Yeah, we spent the night down in Knockalla last week. I think it's been the best night since today, actually, where we were lucky enough to get it done. We had a good team of volunteers down, 12, 14 of us down, and we done from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill. And the hill is actually in very good shape at the minute. So,
yeah. So what's the schedule then for the weekend over the course of the 2 days, and how many runs do the competitors get, Johnny, and what format does it take?
Well, we aim the first familiarisation run is starting at 10:30 on Saturday and Sunday morning, with all going well, the first competitive run starting at 11:15. Good day, we hope to have the competitors anything between 5 or 6 runs, so that's what we're aiming for, and hopefully that's what we can give them.
And Johnny, is it a case that's the same, similar to the rally stage, where it starts and then it finishes up then at the top of the hill to Care Park?
Yeah, it's quite similar. It starts about maybe 3 or 4 yards after the rally stage starts. It's just the competitive case that it's always been. The road's in good shape. We have one chicane on it. And I think the fastest time last year was 39 seconds on it. So that's quite good going for top to bottom.
What's the best advice then if people want to come down and watch it? Go pick your spot in the hill and sit there for the day, is it?
Come early, pick your spot in the hill, and I'm sure that you'll be in for a good day's motorsport.
Yeah. It's not the last event, Johnny, on the, I suppose, the Motor Club's calendar. The Harvest is coming up next month as well, and I'm sure preparations are in full swing for that too.
Yeah, the Harvest is in full prep, as you said, Oisin. Ran out of the Orchard Bar here in Letterkenny. We have our stages picked. The entry should be open Monday or Tuesday after the hill climb. So, yeah, last round of the Triton Tarmac National Championship, last round of the Border, round 5 of the Club Championship. So we're expecting a bumper entry once again. And listen, it's going to be good. John has laid out some tricky demanding stages. And it'll definitely attract a very good entry.
Awesome. We'll hear more in the Harvest to come. But good luck with this weekend, Johnny, and for everybody to have a successful and safe hill climb in Knockall.
Thank you, Oisin, and thanks to everyone in Highland as well for all the support and everything. Thank you.
That's Johnny Baird, who I caught up with earlier today to look ahead to the hill climb. And that is it for another Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap back on it shortly. It will be available in the sport and playback sections of our website, highlandradio.com. Until the next time, have a very good evening.